Sit back, open your mind, and enter a world where dreams are born. A land of fantasy awaits, beckoning you to explore its hidden secrets. Travel the roads and winding wooded trails into the dark depths of unknown, while narrow eyes follow your path and low whispers spur your every step. A fortress stands boldly against the dying light of day, and you struggle through waves of tall grass flowing in the evening breeze. Night sounds haunt you from the darkness that creeps ever closer. You see the open gate, and the warm glow within reaches out to you. Your legs are heavy from travel. Your brain works to push you on. Your muscles cry in pain, but you inch forward, not daring a backwards glance. Is it the sound of your breathing that fills the night air? Or that of something else? Something evil? At last, the high arch of the fortress keep opens its mouth and mercifully swallows you into the safe stone walls. The guard smiles comfortingly as your boots tap a hollow rhythm on the wooden drawbridge. You smile back and your heart returns to its rightful place, its wild beat slowing to normal. Through the gate, the soft glow of the torchlit courtyard brings warmth to your body, relaxing your tense muscles. Across the yard, a tavern awaits, bright lights shining through its windows and cheerful song calling from within. Go now and listen to the stories, the tales of Elflord. Elflord number one, part one. Created by Barry Blair. Written by Bruce Blair. Printed originally by Aircell Publishing Limited. Adapted for radio by Mike Fallick, Our Hero Comics Production, LLC, and with permission of Outland Entertainment. Evening, in the walled city of Greenhaven, the Black Raven Inn, favorite watering hole for the King's soldiers. Sitting at a table, surrounded by friends in the Black Raven Inn, was a knight in full mail cape and crest, with slick black hair. His name was Hawk Erickson. He took a sip from a fresh mug placed in front of him by the barmaid, and sighed listlessly. Sitting with the young elfin were his friends, Pure Breeze and Falcon, both caught up with the spirit of the tavern.
Cheer up, Hawk. The princess isn't gone forever. Parting makes the heart grow stronger.
I hate that saying, Pure Breeze. I'm sorry, but I can't help thinking of her. I should have asked the king for permission to escort Ariadne to her uncle's castle. These are troubled times.
Meanwhile, brooding behind them sat a jealous roustabout named Brolo.
Blast young pups coming in here with our soldiers. Great spirit,
thought Brolo to himself. However, the privilege of the king's guard is too much for Brolo, and he places a firm hand on Hawk's shoulder in order to interrupt.
You, Erickson, I'm talking to you, boy. So how's the king's guard doing? Still hiding behind the city walls while the true soldiers are out defending the realm?
Hawk's companion, Pure Breeze, a terrifying lady pugilist, was growing impatient with this display.
Leave us alone, Brolo. We aren't in the mood for your bravado.
Ha! The wench in warrior's clothing. If any of you had guts, you'd be out there fighting the hated trolls.
However, it was Falcon who decided to intervene first as he stood up at the table with a finger in Brolo's face.
That's enough out of you, Brolo!
So one of the little castle rats has a bit of spunk, huh?
I think you better...
Brolo replied with a swift punch to the face that sent Falcon flying back several feet.
Let that be a lesson not soon forgotten. Thus speaks Brolo, master of the flashing sword!
But as Brolo celebrated his own wonderful sword skills, it was Pure Breeze's blade that found its way but an inch from Brolo's neck.
Master Soprano's thing is more like it!
And with a wonderful line of her own, Pure Breeze kicks Brolo in a place that most men keep between their legs.
Ew! Ouchie! Ernie!
Let's go! The air has suddenly gone foul in here.
And with that, Hawk dislodged Falcon from a nearby table he had found himself stuck in.
Did we win?
The group ended their bar fight the only sensible way known and paid their tab and left as Brolo rolled on the floor. Just outside the tavern, in the cool night, sat a small elf gazing up at the stars as if lost in a dream. Windblade Greensleeve was the last of his kind, a white-haired elf belonging to the magical race of Sidhe.
Wait until I get that dullard alone.
Wake up, Squire. It's time to move on. This place has become boring.
Then maybe I can liven it up for you, you dog.
The worst scenario for a bar fight had happened. It followed the three outside. Brolo stood at the edge of the courtyard and shouted his proclamation.
Nobody gets the best of Captain Brolo. Prepare to lose your head.
Brolo charged with what he perceived to be extreme gallantry.
You poor excuse for a female!
And as Brolo swung his sword as fast as he could at Pure Breeze, it was Hawk Erickson's blade that found its way out of its sheath this time. With a quick smack to the side of Brolo's hand and a swish of his blade, Brolo found himself pantsless in his underpants in the middle of the courtyard. If that wasn't enough, Erickson lifted his heel and put it right in Brolo's chest, sending him backwards.
That should take the wind out of his sails. And Brolo, thanks for letting me do this. I feel much better.
Meanwhile, in a dark tower, Doron, the wizard advisor to the king, sat brooding.
So the Four King has summoned me, his faithful advisor.
Doron paced the floor, folding a blade in his hand.
What an idiot he is, living in his fool's paradise, with the Sword of Doom hanging precariously over his head. Soon the castle will be mine. I have a plan.
Doron slammed his blade into his table.
And the royal guard is but a small problem.
Its dark handle and skull adornments vibrating as he walked away into the corridors of the castle. Doron's dark shadow appeared in the king's court, only to be greeted with nothing but trust. The king was a jolly, trusting sort of man, and he sat surrounded by assistants who played him music, guarded his back, and fed him grapes.
Doron. Hello, my trusted friend. I seek news of my daughter, the princess.
Safe and well, your majesty. My aides have brought word of her arrival to your half-brother's castle.
Good, Doron. How can I possibly thank you for all you've done?
There is only one small favor, sire.
Name it, my friend.
There is a certain stone of mystic powers I have read of. It is beyond my powers to seek. For in doing so, I will be gone from your side for a long time.
But where is this stone, Doron?
The Valley of the Endless Mists.
The king spit out his grapes in surprise.
No. No. I dare not send you on such a journey. There have been none who have returned from that place of nightmares. Wait. Wait. This stone. Perhaps I can send my king's guards to get it to Doron. Is it that valuable?
Quite simply, sire, the stone would make you the most powerful king in the land. None would be able to stand against you.
Ha! Doron, simply leave me a map and description of the stone, and I will see your wish fulfilled.
As you wish, gracious sire. It will be in your hands by morning.
Mid-morning found Hawk, Pure Breeze, and Windblade riding out of the castle gates. The horses were all white, save for Hawk's, which was pitch black.
This is insane. You know that, don't you? Here we are, riding off to death, leaving the king with Doron.
We follow orders, Pure Breeze, and we aren't riding to our deaths. We'll be back with the stone. Besides, Falcon's with the king. I have a feeling this journey will bring a few unexpected surprises.
What do you mean? I hate surprises.
Just wait and see, Pure Breeze. Just wait and see.
Meanwhile, from the gates emerged another rider. Brolo.
And who? Sir Erickson, beg pardon for last night's drunken behavior and ask if I may be of service on this quest. You may need another blade, and mine is keen.
Glad we have you along, but try not to get in the way.
Don't get in the way. Well, have you know that in the battle of Ragnarok, I fought valiantly. I was in the forefront, and my sword was waving above me, and I was going ye back from Brolo. You devil dogs! You don't know what will hit you if you let Brolo.
As Brolo rattles on of past glory, the elves start their fantastic journey that none would believe. One day later, the companions left the familiarity of the kingdom, and they were well on their journey. But were they alone? A feeling crept over Windblade, and indeed a dark chill filled the air.
We're being followed! In the next densely wooded area we pass, we'll dismount and let the horses go on alone.
These are just a frightened yelps of a squire. I don't believe tales of white-haired elves with these magical powers and sixth sense.
If Windblade says we're being watched, then we are.
At Hawk's instinct, the party ducked into a ravine at the side of the path. It was from there that they could only hear and sense the violent and angry footsteps of the trolls that marched through the forest just past them.